Fusion, so good to be with you guys tonight. Welcome to Fusion. Hope you guys are excited to be here. My name is Bo. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. So great to be with you guys tonight. Before we get to our time in looking at God's Word, I wanted to just take a moment and reflect for a moment together and respond to what took place a week ago. It always breaks my heart to be up here and say this, but Fusion, we had another tough week, didn't we? We had another week of violence and hatred and evil just taking place in our nation, and I was so grieved, like many of you, watching the news last week, seeing what was taking place in Las Vegas with this horrendous evil mass shooting. And as this was taking place, like many of you, I was brought back to some of these same old questions that we just keep asking ourselves. Why is this taking place? Why is this happening? God, where are you? God, what are you doing about this? And as I was reflecting on this, and as I was grieving and just processing this, I was brought to a couple of thoughts, a couple of truths that were just, they just so resonated in my spirit. And the first is, it broke God's heart what took place in Las Vegas. It grieved his heart to see the evil and the hatred take place that took place there. And I also remembered that this is not how it's supposed to be. We live in a fallen world, we live in a broken world, but this is not how it's supposed to be. There is not supposed to be hatred and violence and evil like this in our world. And then I remember that there is a day coming when he is going to make all things right. There's a day coming when he is going to make all things new. There's a day coming where he is going to wipe every tear. Evil is going to be destroyed for all of eternity. That day is coming, and I was filled with hope, Fusion, as I remembered that. In the meantime, while we wait for that day to come, I was also reminded that we as the church, this is our moment to rise up. This is our moment to respond with hope and with faith and with love in these heartbreaking and devastating situations. Man, we are grieved by them. Man, we mourn the loss. We grieve those who lost their lives in this tragedy. But we respond with prayer and we respond with love and with hope. So can we pray together for a moment? Jesus, we come before you yet again, Lord, begging for mercy in this situation. Lord, we grieve with those who lost loved ones and were so injured and damaged and wounded by what took place in Las Vegas. We grieve with them, Lord, and we ask that you would be their healer, that you would be their comforter, Lord. And Lord, we pray that your church would rise up. Would you send us to be your hands and feet? Would you send us to be your voice of love in this situation and in the ones that we will face in the future, Lord? We do not lose hope because we remember that you are still on the throne. But we ask that you would move. Would you bring comfort and peace in this situation and use us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Fusion, like I said, my name is Bo. So excited to be together with you guys tonight. Are you guys excited to be here at Fusion? This is a good place to be for you tonight. Good. Listen. I'm just so excited to turn to God's Word. I say this every time I'm up here on stage. Tonight is no normal Sunday night. Tonight is the night that the God of the universe looked at you and said, I want them there. I have something for them to hear. Do you have faith? Do you have expectation? Do you believe that God has something to say and to do in you and through you tonight? If you do, let's get after it. Because if it's true, if God has something he wants to say, no power from hell, no scheme of evil can disrupt what God wants to do. No last minute touchdown by Aaron Rodgers to beat the Cowboys can possibly derail what God wants to say tonight. Pray for your boy, Fusion. I'm hurting. Okay. Okay. Let's preach. Okay. Hey, we're in this series. We cling to hope, y'all. We're in this series called This Is What We Do. And we want to be a community. We want to be a church that responds to God's grace. We want to be a church that responds to God's grace by leading those who are spiritually convinced and unconvinced to complete commitment to Christ. And here at Fusion, when we talk about complete commitment to Christ, we're talking about three things. One is worship. It's building an intimate, a personal, intimate relationship with God. The next is family. So we have worship, we have family. That is doing the Christ-centered life together. And the third is kingdom. And that is making known, making famous the name of Jesus in this world, being his hands and his feet out in our city and in our world. And I'm so excited for our time together tonight because we're talking about a topic that it can be a little challenging. It can be a little stretching for us as a people. You know, there's times that we look at God's word and we are so comforted by it. But there's also times that we are challenged by God's word. And I'm so grateful for those times because it causes us to grow forward into something that God wants to do in us and through us as a people. Listen, anybody grateful that God is not done with you yet? He is still at work in you. He is still changing you. And if you are here tonight and if you have ears to hear what God has to say, my prayer is that we would be stretched, that we would grow into the people that God wants us to be. If you are still drawing breath, that means God is not done with you yet. And so let's be open to hear everything that God has to say to us tonight. Let's pray together. God, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room. Would you be at work? Would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? And would you change us to be more of the people that you want us to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fusion, let me ask you a question. Do you like your name? The name that you have, the name that for many of us was the name given to us by our parents, do you like your name? Would you change your name if you could? You know, my real name is going to blow some of your minds. My real name is not Bo.
What?
I know. I know. You're like, I don't even know you anymore. My real name is Robert. I'm a junior. I'm named after my dad. As my parents found out that they were having a son, a battle of sorts for the ages was waged. Because my dad wanted me to be a junior named after him, and my mom wanted me to be named Bo. She just always loved the name Bo. And she was a young girl. She loved the name Bo and wanted to name her son Bo. And so as I was closer to being born, a compromise was reached. And legally, I was named after my dad, but I was always called Bo. And this was great. It was a fine name. I never had any issue with it. It was totally cool until I hit fifth grade. And in fifth grade, we had our first run through sex ed. And they separated the boys and the girls. And it wasn't like a sexual reproduction lesson, but it was like a, here's your body and what's changing and what's weird about you right now. When you're already a fifth grader, you're awkward and insecure already. And then we're in this class. And the teacher was running us through the curriculum that he was going to take us through in this sex ed class. And he was talking about all the different things. But one of the things he was going to teach us on, and he says, we're going to learn about personal hygiene, you know, bathing and taking care of yourself. And we're going to learn about, you know, body odor, you know, BO. And every eye in that fifth grade class turned to me. And suddenly, I realized my initials represented the phrase body odor. From that day in the fifth grade until the day I graduated high school, I showered every single day before school without fail because I was so insecure that I was going to be the body odor kid. My name even represented it. Our names, they give us identity or identity issues at times, don't they? We respond to our names. When you hear your name, don't you turn and look? My dad used to mess with me all the time. He'd be in one room and I'd be in another. I'd hear him yell, Bo! So I come running in and go, yeah, what? And he goes, oh, no, I said no. I was talking to TV. I was like, oh, so I run back to him. And a few minutes later, Bo! I come running, what? No, I said no. I was talking to TV. I was like, Dad, I already have issues with the body odor thing, and now you're messing with me in this way as well. We have identity. We respond to our names. Our names can give us access to places at times too, can't they? When you make a reservation, you put it under your name. I have been lucky enough through a friend of a friend to a couple of times be able to have dinner in Club 33 in Disneyland. And it's the greatest thing because you're right there in the French Quarter and you walk up to that door and there's the little plate and you push it down, you push the button and they say, hello, name please. You go, Bo, reservation for four. And welcome, Bo. And the door opens and you walk in and you're like, I'm in the happiest place within the happiest place on earth. Like I'm in the holy of holies of Disneyland right now. Our names can give us access to places. There's lots of places my name does not give me access to. VIP lounges are not open to Bo very often. My name wouldn't give me access to the Oval Office. My name doesn't give me access backstage at concerts. Well, we're going to look together tonight at a story from Scripture about another name. And it's the name that all of this is built on. It's the name that gives identity. It is the name that gives access. It is the name that gives authority. It's the name that redeems, that restores, that heals, that brings freedom. We're talking tonight about the name of Jesus. And as we talk about the name of Jesus, we're talking about evangelism. Now, evangelism is a topic that can make people nervous. Already in this room tonight, there's a few responses probably taking place. Some of you have very sweaty hands right now, and you're like, he's talking about evangelism. He's going to make me go knock on strangers' doors. I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't know how I feel about this. For others, you've already decided, as soon as I said the word evangelism, to check out and say, well, this isn't for me. I don't do that. Isn't it interesting that we can at times be more afraid to talk to people about Jesus than we are to talk to people about our diet, about our workout plan, or about our political views? And we have this tendency to overcomplicate evangelism or to put all of this undue pressure on ourselves. But listen, when we're talking about evangelism, evangelism is simply this. It's making the name of Jesus known in this world. It is about his name. And when we recognize the power, we recognize the authority, we recognize the worth of his name, there is this courage and even this excitement that raises up in us to make that name famous in this world. Evangelism, it can be scary to us for various reasons, right? Well, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? No, I don't want to offend anybody. We're afraid of hearing that one word that will just destroy our entire existence and cause us to no longer be a person at all if we give an invitation about Jesus and somebody says, no, I can't go on anymore. But our goal for tonight is this, to bring peace to anxious hearts on the topic of evangelism. And to remind all of us who are followers of Jesus that we do not get to sit evangelism out. We're going to be looking at a story from Acts chapter 4. But before we get there, we have to know a little of the context of what's been taking place. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls on the disciples of Jesus and the church is born. And it just starts to grow and to grow and to grow. And people are preaching and people are hearing about Jesus and they are responding. And in Acts 3, Peter and John, they heal a man who has been lame, who has been unable to walk since the day of his birth. They heal him and people are freaking out because they know this guy. And now here he is walking around. And so they begin to preach about Jesus after this moment. And the religious uppity ups at the time, they don't like this. They can't take this anymore. So it says they laid hands on them. They grabbed them with force and brought them in and begin to question them. And they say, who gives you the right to do these things? And here's where we pick up Acts chapter 4. It's going to be in your bulletin. It'll be on the screens as well. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation by any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Don't you love when the Bible just preaches itself? Come on, that is so good. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Nothing against it. I absolutely love this story for so many reasons. And the first is this. We're going to have 4 points. We're going to have blanks for you to fill in, but you can write these down. Number one, write this down. If you follow Jesus, you are called to evangelism. If you follow Jesus, you are called to evangelism. One of the great traps that Christians can fall into when it comes to evangelism is to think that is solely reserved for an evangelist, for somebody who stands on a stage with a microphone preaching about Jesus. And you think, well, I'm just gonna do my thing. I'm gonna let that pastor, let that evangelist, I'm gonna let them preach Jesus. But we have to remember that when Peter and John are preaching about Jesus here, they weren't professional evangelists.
They were normal men. In verse 13, it said, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Here they were, fishermen, normal people, preaching Jesus boldly. And they were saying, listen, I don't know everything, but here's what I do know. There is no other name that saves. There is no other religious system that will save you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they left these religious leaders thinking, who do these guys think they are? What gives them this right and what authority do they have to preach about this Jesus who is just shaking everything up in our world? Well, listen, Fusion, this is important. They had the authority and they had a mandate from Jesus to preach so boldly. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and now I send you out to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, he said, when the Holy Spirit falls on you, you are going to receive power, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Listen, that same Holy Spirit that Jesus promised in Acts, and the same Holy Spirit that filled Peter and John in Acts 4 is alive in you if you are a follower of Jesus. And he gives you the same authority, he gives you the same power, and he gives you the same mandate. Make Jesus known. In the places where you work, make Jesus known. At the school that you go to, make Jesus known. In the family that you come from, make Jesus known. When this nation is broken and hurting and grieving, make Jesus known. We have that authority. We have that mandate from him. And you may think, well, that's not really for me. Are you a follower of Jesus? Yes, it is. And you may think, well, I'm really all about live and let live. Are you a follower of Jesus? No, you're not. From the earliest examples, we know that everyone who was a follower of Jesus, they participated in preaching Jesus and making Jesus known. And this is so important for us. We have to realize this. The followers of Jesus, we read in the Bible, they didn't view evangelism as an optional thing. They weren't worried about offending somebody, so they kept their mouth shut. They weren't concerned they may not have all the answers, so I better just sit this one out and let somebody more educated and better at this than I am do it. These guys knew. They knew what they had seen, what they had experienced. It was life-changing. It was world-changing. It was freedom-bringing. It was joy-bringing, and they must be a part of it. There was no option for them. And yet, if you're anything like me, sometimes we've come so far from where these disciples were. I don't find myself always living with this mandate and this power and this authority to do these things. I find myself riding in the back of a Lyft or an Uber. First of all, making that one awkward decision, do I talk to this person or not, or do I just ride in silence for the next 15 minutes? But then there's always that moment where I'm asked what I do, and I have to decide, oh man, okay, if I tell them I'm a pastor, it's going to bring up the Jesus thing. I got like 10 minutes before I get to where I'm going. I got like 5 minutes. Do I want to get into this or not? And I wrestle over it. Yet the times that I have the courage to bring up Jesus in a conversation, I have never been disappointed by what he has done in that 10 or 15 minute car ride. I have shared Jesus with so many Uber drivers. I have an Uber ministry. It's strange, I know. We can think evangelism, that's not what I do. That's what somebody else does. But Fusion, if we don't preach, no one will. In Romans 10, Paul writes, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And when Paul writes this, when he writes that word preacher, he wasn't talking about a profession. He wasn't talking about somebody standing up on stage with a microphone. He was talking about followers of Jesus knowing that our job and our role and our purpose is to proclaim Jesus to this world. Evangelism is for all of us. Number two, write this down. Time with Jesus, it leads to evangelism. Time with Jesus leads to evangelism. In verse 13, while these Pharisees and these religious leaders are freaking out, it says, and they realized they had been with Jesus. Fusion, do you want to grow in your effectiveness in evangelism? Then grow in your intimate, tender moments that you spend with Jesus. It always surprises me that when I am constantly in my word, when I'm doing my devotions, when I am in prayer, I always have something to say in a conversation about Jesus. I get words for people, and that doesn't need to be some weird, scary thing. In conversations with people, whether I know them or not, so many times God has brought to mind for me something I read in my devotions earlier that morning or earlier that week, and he has used it in this conversation, in this moment of me deciding I'm going to boldly proclaim Jesus to this person. See, when I am constantly in God's word, I am so reminded of his great love for me. And when I'm reminded of his great love for me, I'm therefore reminded of his great love for this world. And all of a sudden, I know I can't stay silent. If he loved me this way, then he loves you this way. And I love you too much to be silent on this. So I'll say something. I'll start a conversation with you about this. It reminds me of something that I said last summer when I was preaching here. I know you guys remember it because you remember all the things I say up here on stage. That wasn't a joke. I don't know what the laughter is on that one, guys. Let your doing be a result of your being. Let the things that we do for God be a result of our time that we spend being with him. Abide in him. Be with Jesus. And like Peter and John, people are going to know you have been with Jesus. You will find that by being with Jesus, your confidence and your ability to speak the truth of his love to this world, it is going to grow. We need to know that evangelism is for all of us. We need to know that evangelism is a result of time spent with Jesus. And for evangelism, very simply, number three, share your story. Share your story. See, knowing the Bible and having intimate time with Jesus, it is crucial to being effective in evangelism, but we must also be able to tell our story of Jesus in our lives. You see, people, they can't argue with results. I mean, I guess they can, but they don't have a very strong leg to stand on. When a transformed life is in front of somebody, there's very little you can say in response. The religious leaders, they had nothing to say when they saw that healed man standing there in front of them. People can debate the merits of Christianity, the historical accuracy of it. They can debate that with me all day long, and I will have those conversations. But when I look at them and I say, if you would have known me when I was 18 years old, if you would have known how hurt and how broken I was, have you ever experienced hurt? Have you experienced pain? Have you ever been in depression? Have you ever been in a place where you have no hope? I was there. And in my darkest moment, in my lowest moment, Jesus loved me, and he saw me, and he poured out his grace upon me. And he began to transform my life. He set me free from my addictions. He brought me out of that darkness. And my life has never been the same. What can you say against that? Fusion, do you know your story? Do you know what Jesus has done in your life? Can you articulate the way he has set you free? Can you articulate the places his grace has shown up for you? And are you willing to declare it to those who God is going to send your way? Listen, Fusion, do not get caught up in doing evangelism wrong. Don't let fear stop you and cause you to be silent when it comes to preaching Jesus boldly in the places where you live, in the places where you work. There's a story that I love of a man named D.L. Moody, who was a famous evangelist in America, late 1800s, early 1900s, one of the great evangelists America has ever seen. And there's a story where after a time of evangelism where he's preaching Jesus boldly, a woman, she came up to him and she said, "Excuse me, sir, I have something to say," which is always great to hear after you just get done preaching, "but I got something to say." Because yes, and she goes, "I don't like how you do evangelism. I disagree with how you do it." He said, "Oh, okay, well, thank you for sharing that. Let me ask you, how do you do it?" She goes, "Oh, well, I don't." And D.L. Moody says, okay, well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it. Listen, Fusion, anybody who brings criticism against you for how you are preaching Jesus likely isn't doing very much of it themselves. So you preach Jesus. You be bold. You share your story. You make his name known in this world. Share your story. And finally, Alex, if you'll join me up here, number four, we're going to do this. Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. After this encounter, Peter and John, they're set free. And they go back to their disciples after they're told, don't preach about Jesus. And these guys, I love it. They say, like, listen, I can't stop and I won't stop preaching about Jesus. And they go back to their friends, the other disciples, and they tell them this report. They tell them this good news. And then it says this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. With boldness. Fusion, will you be bold this week in how you preach Jesus? Listen, we have to be. We must be bold about Jesus now more than ever. This world is hurting. This world is looking for answers. This world is looking for hope. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you have that to talk about and to bring into their lives. Are you convinced by what Scripture says? Are you convinced that your sin separated you from God? Are you convinced that your sin doomed you to an eternity separated from your Creator? But God, who is so rich in love, he is so rich in mercy with this love with which he loved you. He died for you while you were still a sinner. He made you alive. He made you new. He redeemed you. He set your feet on a solid rock. Are you so convinced of that for yourself that you will also be convinced that that's true for this world in which we live? And if that is true, will you be bold this week in preaching Jesus? Will you be bold this week in sharing Jesus? Do you believe that there is no other name that can save? Fusion, evangelism, it is not about your name. It is not about your reputation. It is not about my name. It is not about my reputation. It is about the name of Jesus, the one that is worthy to be praised, the one that brings freedom, the one that saves. It is about his name. Fusion, we are about making the name of Jesus known in this city. So will you be bold this week in declaring what he has done for you and what he wants to do in other people's lives as well?